prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us shortly, but first we're going to do the market report for January 27th. And a nice day for gold after the Feds came out with their announcement for any rate increases. Markets dropped, and I think they've since come back a little bit from their lows. And gold certainly pulled back a little bit, but we're looking up $5.40, 540 at 1126 off the high of 1128. We're looking for 1150. We got to get up above 1150. Silver, 1456, down just a few pennies, down four. Platinum was up six at 884. Palladium was up seven at 502. What's interesting is silver was up most of the day until the announcement, and then it pulled back a few cents. So can't figure out what was going on there. But I think if the markets continue up tomorrow, it will certainly reverse itself. You have the USDX today. Again, that pulled back a little bit after the announcement, 0.05 at 98.97. We'll talk a little bit more about the announcement during the second break after Wendy Wilson. Crude oil up 0.51 at 31.96. And the paper markets, they were approaching the 300 level to the downside, pulled back and managed to be down 235 points, almost 1.5% negative, 15,931. Seems like it's having a hard time keeping that 16,000 level. NASDAQ was down 99 points at 44.68. The S&P was down 20 at 18.82. 10-year yield holding right at 2%. The euro, of course, reacted to the weaker dollar. That was up 0.23 at 109. And, you know, all the Asian and European markets were up. I don't know if they were in anticipation of what the Fed was going to do, or maybe they just followed our markets yesterday. But so we'll see how they react overnight. And again, we'll talk about Janet Yellen's decision and her Federal Reserve statement right after the first break. And I guess we have Wendy Wilson. She's on the line, I hope. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about some blood clotting drugs today. Yep, for that?
That sounds like fun.
Oh, yay. Well, have you seen the TV commercials lately? I've seen it. It's on every day. It's for the new, supposedly new, blood clot prevention drug called Pradaxa. And it's supposed to be the drug that replaces Coumadin, also known as Werfen. And, you know, Coumadin's been a big, big moneymaker for blood thinning, reasons. And you have to ask yourself, why do they need to replace it? Could it be that the FDA's black box warning on Coumadin is scaring patients away? Or is it because patients are finding out that Coumadin, also known as Werfen, is really rat poison? So is Pradaxa really a better drug for patients at risk of developing blood clots? So I thought we'd dig into that one and see what we find. So Coumadin, Al, Melanie, went on the market in 1954. It was first marketed in 1948 as a rodenticide, which is rat poison. It is synthesized Coumadin, also known as Werfen, which is odorless and tasteless, and it was easy to poison rodents with it. They would eat it, and they would bleed internally to death. So you have to ask yourself, you know, who thought about giving it to people for the same for blood thinning? Well, the drug company says that rat poison in small doses deters blood clots but does not promote hemorrhaging. Well, if you look at the FDA's black box warning on the side of Coumadin, it states, quote, patients may be more susceptible to the risk of hemorrhaging if they're 65 and older, and if they have a history of gastrointestinal bleeding, hypertension, or heart disease, end of quote. Well, that's pretty much everybody that's prescribed the drug, basically. So you got to keep in mind, Coumadin was supposed to be replaced by an all-star drug called Melagatran, which was for blood clots, but was a total failure. The risk of bleeding was worse than Coumadin. According to a 2001 article in the Journal of the American Medical Association, it stated that Melagatran offered concerns due to its likelihood to induce bleeding, promote cardiovascular events, and drug-induced liver failure. So treating blood clots using the Coumadin and Werfen has been their standby. It's kind of tricky, though. Doctors, you know, have to have patients get frequent blood tests, and they have to monitor them pretty closely because the drug can cause brain hemorrhages, strokes, and other internal bleeding issues. So they were looking for a drug that could skip all that problem and still be profitable. So a year's worth of Coumadin or Werfen, whichever you want to call it, it costs a patient about $200. A year's worth of Pradaxa costs $3,000. Any questions, Al?
Let me get my calculator. I think there's something significant there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll have that in just a moment.
Okay. Well, let me read you in the meantime this quote by Dr. Robert Califf, Duke University cardiologist. He says, the side effects of Werfen, also known as Coumadin, can be debilitating, and it's one of the leading causes of emergency room fatalities in the United States. Okay. So here we are, 62 years after the launch of Coumadin in 1954, and after a slew of other anti-clotting drugs have not performed well, now we have Pradaxa. Now, the hype on Pradaxa, this drug, is considered an upgrade to Coumadin because it limits strokes. And Pradaxa hit the market in 2010. It reached the $1 billion sales mark in 2012. Unfortunately, according to drugwatch.com, the German pharmaceutical manufacturer of this drug, known as Boehringer Ingelheim, they paid up $640 million in lawsuit settlements because the drug, they had over 4,000 lawsuits, and they killed over 500 people taking this drug. But the TV commercials are still on, and the drug is still being sold. So some of the common side effects that patients are told about, the side effects of this Pradaxa drug, is you may have a little indigestion, nausea, and heartburn. But the serious... Well, wait a minute. The serious side effects, Melody, you're right, are heart attack, liver failure, and get this, uncontrolled hemorrhaging and death. So at least with the Coumadin product, if there's some bleeding, there's an antidote to help the blood reclot. But Pradaxa removes the clotting ability in the blood, and if you start bleeding on Pradaxa, you're a goner, basically. Okay? So 542 deaths on Pradaxa in 2011, 4,000 lawsuits. The drug company didn't admit any fault as they swept $640 million of damages under the rug. But that's kind of like the modus operandi of these drug companies. You know, they'll make billions selling it, and any serious damages and lawsuits, those payouts will be dwarfed by the profits.
Yeah.
So
it's just the cost of doing business, that's all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm thinking the bean counters that work for pharmaceutical companies, they must be alcoholics because they got to know that, they're killing people with these drugs.
Yeah.
They have to know that. So what causes clots? Let's get to the big question. Usually lifestyle can promote having blood clots, also known as thrombosis. So there's a way that you can deal with that. More women than men tend to have blood clots, and especially women who are pregnant or women on birth control. This is an interesting thing. They've got three generations of birth control now, and according to the research, is the second generation of birth control, the statistics were 15 serious deadly blood clots for every 100,000 women. The current third generation birth control, it's 25 blood clots for every 100,000 women. And of course, what medicine says is the benefits outweigh the risk. Well, tell that to the dead ladies, in the morgue.
About whether the profits outweigh the risk?
Well, let's just talk about the whole thing about how blood clots are triggered, a stroke is made, heart attack. We used to be told, cholesterol and plaque, that it disrupts your heart rhythm and it contributes to all this problem. But according to Harvard cardiologist Dr. Victor Gerwich, he says these factors don't necessarily put you at risk of having blood clots. He says blood clots are influenced by the fibrinogen level of your blood. So fibrinogen is this protein which dissolves unwanted blood clotting. So if your blood platelets like to clump and stick together, it's usually a direct influence by diet, according to Dr. Gerwich. He says if you have enough fibrinogen protein to dissolve clots, you're fine. More research is being conducted on this whole thing as evidence pointing to foods that are to blame for the problem, not on how your liver processes cholesterol. So dietary changes, they say, start to work immediately to reduce your blood clot risk. So what they're suggesting is some of the natural blood thinners, and they don't recommend you, beef up your diet on these foods if you are already on blood thinners. So foods that will thin your blood are garlic, ginger root, black mushrooms, fish with omega-3 fatty acids like salmon and sardines, and also things that are very effective at thinning blood will be cayenne. It helps balance blood pressure. You can use that. Olive oil, green tea, a vegetable-rich diet. All these things will naturally thin out your blood and remove that blood clot risk, according to medical science. So it's not so much. And it also lowers your cholesterol naturally as well. And but don't watch the excessive alcohol. If you drink too much alcohol, that will push up your blood clot risk significantly. So, but I do want to mention really quickly an ancient forgotten clot cure real quick. One herb in particular has these nutritional flavonoids to prevent unnatural conversion of the fibrinogen protein that is supposed to protect you. If it's converted to fibrin, it would cause more clots. So what this herb does is it protects your fibrinogen protein, so it will make sure you don't have clots. And this herb is known as hawthorn berry. So it offers also elasticity to arteries and veins, so it prevents the narrowing where blood clots get stopped and, you know, roadblocks, if you will. And this was all in the American Journal of the Clinical Nutrition. And they said hawthorn berry also added another benefit. It helps with the heartbeat, improves the forcefulness of the beating of your heart to improve blood pressure. So they say hawthorn berry also prevents things like hypertension, angina, arrhythmia, blood clots, of course, heart failure, and other chronic cardiovascular diseases. So if you're going to buy some hawthorn berry out there as a supplement, make sure it's not full of, it's not with a bunch of fillers in it. And if you're using it in a liquid form, it should be in its whole food state, so it's not been stripped of alkaloids and it's cold pressed and it's got all the power that the berry has. So if you're looking for hawthorn berry, guess what? The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that, and they also have some heart formulas that have the hawthorn berry in it, so a little extra benefit there. So we've got tools. People are more powerful than they thought, you know?
Well, you know, they're also more susceptible than they thought, and that is to sales pitches.
Yeah.
And my question is if a senior citizen walks into a doctor's office, how does the doctor know whether that senior citizen is particularly susceptible to blood clots or he's not? Is it just a function of say, well, you're a certain age and you're probably susceptible to blood clots, so why don't we fix you up with a prescription for Pradaxa? How do we know that one guy is susceptible to blood clots and someone else is not? Is it only history, or is there, and is that the basis of the sale? Or is the sale say, why don't you try some of this? It'll only cost you $3,000 a year.
Well, they're supposed to take and test your blood and run it through some tests and see what your fibrinogen level is, spin it down in a centrifuge, see how much fat's in there. You see a level of white stuff on top of a beaker of blood there. That means you have more fat in your blood than you need. But technically, the cholesterol is not the problem, according to new research. It's the fibrinogen protein, which is highly influenced by diet. So get off the processed food, the fast foods, start, you know, basic foods, your food groups, whole grains, fruits and vegetables, limit the animal foods. Definitely get off the dairy because that's very congestive to the heart cardio system, and cardiologists don't even drink milk. They'll tell you that. So there's things people can do. It's just a matter of, you know, do you want to be proactive or do you want to be reliant on a $3,000 a year drug that could kill you? Those are the questions. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. The danger is that you're going to be taking a drug for something you may not need, or at least that's my concern. If you got to have something, you got to have something. All right. I mean, I'm willing to go along to that extent, but I want to know if before I'm going to take a drug, I want to know that I really need it. I'm not real excited about taking a drug just based on the odds are, well, there's a chance in 100 or chance in 10 that you need the drug, so let's sign you up for it. No, do I need it? Do I not? That's my concern.
Well, all good questions. People should be asking their doctors serious questions like that and, you know, prove it to me. Why do I need to be on it? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you get thrown out of the doctor's office if you ask too many questions. Why don't you give us a little contact information,
Andy? Oh, yeah. We have a free product catalog for anybody who would like one. Call this number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit us online at thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
All right, Wendy. Thank you. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. You can call her toll-free at 866-229-3663. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarson. I'm on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thethreews.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I said that we talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve, and they came out and signaled that, you know, perhaps there is a renewed worry about the financial markets, and also slow overseas economic growth. And, you know, it's only been 6 weeks since they raised rates from record lows, and they kept the key interest rate unchanged, and most likely they will pause at their next meeting. And they said they're assessing the implications of the global economic and financial developments. They're looking at inflation, and they will see. They do believe that the U.S. economic growth has also slowed. No kidding. You know, my grandmother used to say, "No kidding, Sherlock." You know.
They probably noticed that it snowed in Washington just the last
week. You think?
They may have noticed that. I don't know.
But you know what? You know, they had the signal that they were going to raise rates 4 times this year. They're not going to do that. They should, you know, I thought if they were going to raise rates in December, they should have at least backed it up with another one. But I really believe what the markets are really experiencing is not that they didn't raise the rates, but I believe this is having a pretty good impact on confidence. You know, that there was no indication of direction. You know, she is just focused on employment. I mean, that's where her mind is at. And there's no leadership here. And I believe it's beginning to just add to, you know, the consumer confidence. And the consumer confidence report came out. you know, consumer confidence during the Super Bowl season, you know, it's not going to shake any confidence, you know, wait until after the Super Bowl, then that'll say something different. But so I think you're beginning to see that weakened confidence in the global markets, and the Fed's not leading. You know, the Fed is definitely not leading.
What can they do? I mean, I think they're in a position where they can't move right now. They can talk about it, and Melody and I were just talking about the placebo effect during the commercial and referring to witch doctors and the rest of that. And insofar as the placebo effect works on patients, they give you a pill that has just a sugar pill. It doesn't have any – it's inert. It doesn't do anything for you. But you take the pill. They tell you it'll help you. Your mind makes the healing take place when you've got that pill. This is the placebo effect. Witch doctors shake rattles at you. The rattles don't actually do anything, but people who believe in the rattles, they can be healed in conjunction. They say, oh, the witch doctor shook the rattle at me. To some degree, that's what Janet Yellen and Barack Obama are attempting to do. They are shaking their rattles at us, and they're saying, oh, we have a recovery. Oh, the economy's getting stronger. Some people believe it, and if they do, maybe the economy will get stronger, but we aren't we're dealing with more of a placebo effect than we are with real medicine. I don't think they've got any real medicine to dispense right now. They can talk about it, but I don't think they can do it.
Well, they can do a lot of things, you know, but I mean, they can create all kinds of ways to throw money at this and stimulus and so forth. But at this point in time, they're looking to contract, and it's not working very well for them. So, you know,
well, you talk about here's an article from CBS News that touches on what you're talking about, at least to some degree. It touches on the concept of confidence. And this is an odd article because the headline alone is strange, coming from a mainstream media source like CBS News. And the headline is, Americans hate the U.S. government more than ever. Now, that's a radical headline, all right? You might expect that from alternative media out on the Internet, but on mainstream media, that's a strange headline. It says a handful of industries are those love-to-hate types of businesses, such as cable TV companies and Internet service providers. The federal government has joined the ranks at the bottom of the barrel industries, according to a new survey from the American Customer Satisfaction Index. American satisfaction level in dealing with federal agencies, everything from Treasury to Homeland Security, has fallen for a third consecutive year, reaching an eight-year low. The declines represent some backsliding in the U.S. government, given that satisfaction saw some improvement in 2011 and 2012, which may have been the result of spending in the wake of the recession. While the comparison with private enterprise isn't apples to apples, given the nature of government services, the findings have some implications for bureaucrats. And here's the key thing from my perspective. Someone, Forrest Morganson, director of research at ASCI, he said satisfaction is linked to broader goals in the political system that it wants to maximize, like confidence and trust. Right, the need to manufacture confidence and trust in the government and in the system. He says it's much more difficult to govern if the entire population dislikes you. Well, gee, isn't that a profound observation? But what he's saying, look, the people are angry. Again, this is part of the Trump phenomenon. People are angry. Trump's angry. People, that guy's angry. I'm with him. All right, all the rest of these people, we're just pretty calm. We've got this under control. No, we don't want that. We want somebody who's angry, going to try to get something done. It seems to reflect this. But the point I want to emphasize is satisfaction that they are measuring in this survey, dealing with government, is linked to broader goals in the political system that the government wants to maximize, like confidence and trust. Confidence, as they tell us time and time again, and confidence is one of the subjects you were touching on in the article you were referencing. Confidence is essential to maintaining the monetary system and the economy. They tell us that. Confidence is waning. That means we have a problem here.
I think what we've seen too, you know, the people, I'm not even so sure they know what they're angry at. They know that they're struggling, that they're struggling to make ends meet. They're struggling because the paychecks aren't buying what they used to buy. They're struggling and they're upset because, you know, the carrot was dangled in front of them. That's why they went into debt. They could live like the wealthy to some degree. They could have all their toys. They could have their boats, the cars, the homes, the new furniture, the new countertops, the new cabinets. They were able to get all of this through credit. Now they're seeing only the one, then they saw their jobs disappear. They saw prices go up. Their wages are stagnant. And the one percenters getting wealthier and wealthier on their backs. You know, they can't improve their lives anymore. They can't get better jobs. They can't get bigger raises. They can't do this. And I think this is what you're seeing as we see even, I don't know if you want to call it society breaking down, but you see this in a lot of different areas and a lot of different levels of society, I guess. So, yeah, people are upset. Do they realize that it's due to all the NAFTA agreements, the trade agreements, how our fiat currency has enabled government in order to grow to the point of they are at today, and why they will funnel every little single penny that the people have? You don't have to worry about what the Federal Reserve has. You have, as long as the people have the money, they'll funnel that money into the system to keep Wall Street going, to keep the bankers going, and not just here on a global basis. And people are going to get poorer and poorer and poorer. And, they're angry because they can't live the life that they were accustomed or they were promised. You know, just like all the other contracts that have made with retirement, your pension plans, you know, all these little promises they made you that you'd be able to retire, that you could drive, you could buy your RV and drive the country. You go on all the cruises that you want for the rest of your life, that you'd have all the best health care that you could ever have. Well, that's disappearing. They're not going to allow you to have it because if you do have the money, they're going to take it from you. Or they will take a very large part of it so they can continue to funnel the Wall Streeters, the bankers, the one percenters. They will take and take until there is nothing left to take. So you have a choice. You have an option. You know, you can put it so they can't get to it, or you can just become and stay part of their system. But I don't know how I got off on that, but it's the truth.
But was it good for you, Melody?
But it is the truth, Al.
Well, I
and
get
anybody
that, but
else.
Here's my point. Here's my point. That's the first time I've heard you really rant about something on the radio program that I can recall.
I never get a chance to, Al. You never let me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just did it right now. Nobody stopped you.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying this is some people comment on me ranting every once in a while. This is the first time I heard you ranting, and I thought, well, that's interesting. That's a change.
But it upsets me because people don't understand why they're upset. It's not just government not doing what we allowed them to do it. We've been positioned. People have been promised, and these promises can't be kept.
Well, I understand. I think the confidence issue is not simply being lost because I can't go out and get myself a new car, a new hula hoop, or whatever toys I want to buy. That's part of it.
Consumer,
but I think some people
economy.
Are losing confidence because the government is simply sitting back and saying, screw y'all. We're going to do what we want to do for our own reasons, for the new world order, for the bankers, for whoever. We don't care about the American people. We are being betrayed by our own government. And for many people, I think that it's not for all of them. Some people are just angry because they can't buy a new car. Some of them are angry because they may be able to buy a new car, but they still understand that the government is betraying our trust. And that makes people angry. It makes some people angry, at least. And it certainly
I believe that
I don't care if I get a new car, but I do care if I get a Congress, a Senate, a president who's more interested in foreign interests than they are in my own.
No, I disagree because I believe those that do understand, those are the people that are buying. They're my customers. They're our listeners to the program. They're the listeners and the people who believe in freedoms. Those are the people who believe and have a faith in God. These are people who, you know, you and I, we deal with, we talk with on a day-to-day basis. That's really a small percentage. I don't believe it's the majority of the people in this country. The majority of the people of this country, when you have 70% of our economy is consumer consumption. We wouldn't have a consumer consumption economy if people weren't concerned about what they could. Now, whether they take their anger and whatever, why ever, and it focuses and then we all come together to fix the problems that it is, that it's created, that's okay. But I don't think people really understand anymore, you know, our true freedoms and our rights and our liberties anymore. They know there's something wrong, but I don't think they can,
I understand that. It's not like anyone has an absolutely clear understanding of what's going on here, because we are in completely new territory. Just as we talked about with Greg Hunter yesterday, we're in completely new economic and political territory. It's never been seen before on the face of the earth. The whole globe is in trouble at the same time. All right, that's pretty much what's happening.
That's never been true before.
One nation at a time, one region at a time.
And
might go into a depression, but somebody else is doing fine. We don't have that right now.
And I kind of disagree a little bit, because I do believe, if you believe in globalization and you believe in the New World Order and you believe, I think a lot of it is per se per agenda. I mean, that was their, what they don't know is what happens once they get what they want. That is what's... Because they could have reactions that would surprise them.
Oh, I understand.
You could have some. That's the part we don't know.
The whole system is operating in unpredictable ways.
But I do believe that their whole agenda was to get everyone on the same playing field, and we're almost there. That's the only way you can. And someone sent me an article. I don't have it right in front of me, but was it Sweden that are going into a cashless society? I didn't get a chance to read the article. I only saw it on a headline. I didn't get to see it and confirm it and so forth. But, it's all of these little things are being played out.
I understand. And people sit back and they see it, but they don't exactly do anything to stop it. It's just like, isn't that interesting? But we are still kind of apathetic about responding to these things and getting hold of our congressman, getting hold of our senator and saying, look, you SOB, here's what it's going to be. And you better get your head screwed on straight or don't come back to this congressional district again. Don't come back to this state. Somebody's got to lean on these people. We can't just go, oh, please do us to do this. Somebody's got to lean on them and make them understand there is personal consequence if you're going to betray our best interests. Because that's what's happening, and we are headed for a time when a lot of people are going to be badly hurt. And all of our congressmen and senators are going to try to explain, well, it wasn't their fault. And I think it was their fault. I think it was their fault. Because
it's everyone's fault.
Well, everybody's in on it, but some people are in on it more than others.
Hey,
I mean, there are people from Congress who say, here, I feel your pain, and I can help you. I can make this better. They don't.
Hey, in my younger years, there was many years I didn't vote. I didn't have a voice. I didn't vote. I just, I was working two jobs. I was going to school. I was busy. I was busy making a living and making a career. So, you kind of ignore some things. So, we're all at fault. But the key
I agree
thing
that
is,
we're all in fault, but some of us said, vote for me and I'll fix the problem, and they've lied. I haven't said, vote for me and I'll fix the problem. I may be at fault, but I haven't told other people I can
solve
the problem on your behalf. These people did. They aren't solving the problem. They need to be held accountable for that, in my opinion. Vote them out.
Absolutely.
Vote them out. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's your son, your father, your sister, your brother, your mother. They're holding public office. They betrayed our trust. Throw them out. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. And got an article from CNN, and the headline is CNN ORC poll: Donald Trump dominates GOP field at 41%. Donald Trump has hit a new high in the race for the Republican nomination, according to CNN ORC poll, with more than 4 in 10 Republican voters saying that they will back the billionaire. More than two-thirds say he's the candidate most likely to capture their party's presidential nomination. Trump has topped the 40% mark for the first time. And the reason that's important, and he's double his next nearest competitor, that's Senator Ted Cruz, who has 19% support. The point is, Trump is still gaining. For the moment, he's still gaining, and that's the... For me, that's the important point. It's not just that he's got 41%. It's that he didn't have 41% before. Now he's still gaining, despite a certain amount of controversies, such as, here's one from the Washington Post. Trump says he won't participate in GOP debate on Fox News. You've probably all heard about this. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump abruptly announced here Tuesday that he would not participate in Thursday's scheduled debate, escalating his off-and-on feud with Fox News Channel and throwing the GOP campaign into turmoil. Trump's assertion, which his campaign manager insisted was irreversible, in other words, he's not going to change his mind, that's what they say here, came less than 1 week before the kickoff Iowa caucuses. He again defied the conventional rules of politics and used his power and prominence to shape the campaign agenda and conversation. This is a pretty interesting event. When was the last time that you heard of a political candidate who was unwilling to kiss the backside of mainstream media? Right?
Well, Ronald Reagan didn't go to a...
but even not to this, nobody's done this before. They're having a dance and I'm not going. I don't care. I'm not going to your dance. You understand? And then what are the media going to do? I don't necessarily agree that it's a good choice. I think Trump, what he needs to do, among other things, is put on an alternative event of his own. And then watch and see
that's
what he should do. He needs to, and then compare what are the ratings for Fox News without him and what are the ratings for his own alternative program. If he can succeed in getting higher ratings on his alternative program than Fox News can get without him, he will have made an extraordinary statement. Well, on the other hand, if it doesn't work, he will also perhaps have compromised his campaign quite a lot. It's an interesting
I think number one, I think he knows that the debates peaked. You know, there's got to be a peaking point in these debates. I mean, he's been in television long enough to know that programs peak. And, you know, so if you get to that point, you could say, why am I wasting my breath on something that's, you know, he can do other things. He could say no, and he could bring a lot more attention because that's his whole agenda of staying ahead and making the media pay for it. He creates these situations. So this is just another situation that he's created in order to keep him in the news and to keep him talking about Trump instead of anybody else. It is brilliant. I mean, he's a true marketer. He knows how to get attention. And, you know, so is it one of those? Is it really a fight against Fox? I don't know. You know, supposedly, you know, he got this thing from Fox and blah, 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 and his little fight with the little girl and so forth, where in 2011 he was praising her. She was interviewing him, and he was praising her about how great she was. So, you know, I think it, the main thing with him not doing
like
the
married
debate,
Melody.
Oh, good Lord.
You can be praising your spouse when you marry the spouse, but you give it a few years, and maybe your praise is not necessarily all that high.
But I think he, you know, I think this is keeping him ahead, and this is just another one of his things to keep him in the forefront, and that is his campaign.
Well, and the point is, if he succeeds,
and you don't have to answer questions,
if he gets away with this,
you don't have to answer any questions.
If he gets away with this, I think it's going to make his campaign. He's going to have to do something astonishingly dumb to derail his own campaign if he gets away with this. On the other hand, if it turns out that more people are watching Fox than watch his program or whatever he tries to put on at the same in the same time frame, if that's possible, if Fox gets higher ratings, it will, you know, it could blunt his momentum. Signal a reversal in his campaign, but big gamble.
But I, you know, again, how many people were really going to watch the debate with him or without him? I wasn't going to watch it. I've seen enough of them. They all say the same. They've been saying the same thing since the first one. I wasn't going to watch it, and I'm not going to watch it because he's not there.
It's like watching Dancing with the Stars, Melody. That guy, Huff, I don't remember his first name. He generally wins. We know that's going to happen, but we watch anyway. All right, same thing with Trump. Some people like the show.
Some people like that, yeah.
Some people like the show regardless of what the – they didn't even know what the outcome is, but they sold it. It's a great program. I'm going to watch it. You know? It's certainly – I mean, you know, I wrote something about Trump back a couple of months ago where he does things that are just so strange and unpredictable, unseen before. You can't help but be fascinated, and in part you sit back, well, I wonder what's he going to do next, you know?
But if
how's
you
he
going to
top
book,
this one? How is you, he going to top you know, this one?
He sets it all. If you read his book, he's playing it exactly how he would, how Trump would. No, he's doing his whole campaign exactly how it is in the art of making a deal. I mean, and it's right there in front of everybody to see, and yet he's pulling it off. And, you know, if I was a candidate, I would have read his book and counteracted it with the same thing. I don't know how stupid these people
can. Well, they are kind of stupid. They are so conditioned. They've been as lifelong professional candidates and professional politicians, they've been conditioned to act and think and talk in a certain way. And Trump is just coming in and saying, that's old news. I don't want to do that. I got an entirely new way to go. And these people who are habituated to responding in a particular way, they don't know what to do. They can't overcome their own conditioning and say, we need to do something different to deal with Trump. None of them have been able to deal with it so far. And Trump, he just does one outrageous thing after another. And everyone is astonished so far. We'll see. So.
You know, and you're right. Some people can handle it and some people can't. Ben Carson, I think he had an opportunity to do what Trump does with bad press. And that was when he was being attacked with his book and the things that he said in his book. And he just wilted like a violet. And he wasn't strong enough. He wasn't showman enough in order to, he wasn't able to pull a Trump. And he could have come out of that on top. But, he just handled it differently, and I think it failed his campaign. And, but anyway, what's next, Al?
I got one. What not even the darkest minds imagined it would be this bad for China. That's the headline from Business Insider. $1 trillion in capital left China in 2015. That's worse than even the most bearish China analysts could have imagined. A few numbers put this in perspective. Monthly average outflows in China used to be $11 billion a month. That's $132 billion a year. In the first 6 months of 2014, $26 billion left China, not so much. In 2014, $134 billion left China. But in 2015, again, they lost $1 trillion flowed out of China. They anticipated something along those lines. China predicted, the government predicted $450 billion in outflows for 2015. They got over $1 trillion. In October, U.S. Treasury estimated that the capital outflows from China hit $500 billion in the first 8 months of 2015. We don't know what the real numbers are exactly, but nevertheless, the point is that the situation has deteriorated very rapidly, and everyone got it wrong. All right? That's the opinion coming from Business Insider. Last year, China's foreign exchange reserves dwindled for the first time since 1992. They fell by $513 billion to $303 trillion. I don't see that as being all that important. The reason you have foreign reserves is it's like having a bank account. You have savings for a rainy day. You have foreign reserves. You have a vault where you keep your foreign reserves, and you keep them for a rainy day. China's got a rainy day. They're exhausting their federal reserves. I don't think it's a big deal exactly. Maybe it's more than I see and understand, but, hit a bad note, hit a bad time, you've got to do some savings. They go on with the article, and this is, you can blame a good portion of the problem they've had. The depreciating value of the yuan is part of the problem, which has spurred holders of the currency to ditch it for something more stable. Now, that's a very interesting line to me. It reveals a great deal. No one is thinking about the yuan. The yuan is depreciating. It's growing less valuable. No one is looking for a more valuable fiat currency. Okay? That's not what's happening. They're not saying, I'm going to go from the yuan to the dollar because the dollar is more valuable. That's not what's happening. What they are, because all of the other fiat currencies are technically worthless. Right? What they're going for is a more stable fiat currency. Right? People are moving out of Chinese yuan, looking for another currency that's equally worthless, doesn't have any intrinsic value, but it's not losing money as fast as losing value as fast as the Chinese yuan. So they're looking for stability in a fiat currency rather than value. And I think that's an interesting insight. It gives us a clue to what's really going on in the world, in the economy. People are looking for stability. Yeah? So, all right. Analysts were also way too rosy on how the Chinese economy would shake out. Chinese government has undertaken a gargantuan task of stabilizing the yuan. Huh? Although they're going to do some capital controls, businesses always find a way to get around them. They've started to threaten and short squeeze yuan traders into submission. In an editorial on Monday, the Chinese government said the traders shorting their currency should expect to suffer huge losses. It even went so far as to warn legendary hedge fund manager George Soros, who famously squeezed the British pound, to stay away. This is how you know things are serious. They're saying, Soros, you just mind your own business. Don't come over here and start shorting our yuan. We got enough trouble, and we're not going to let you take advantage of our problems by shorting our currency. Well, the point to the article, as it says in the headline, not even the darkest minds imagined it would be this bad for China. So any of you who think that the Chinese currency is going to replace the dollar anytime soon, probably not. We're going to see problems in China that are likely to persist for some time into the future. It does not appear that they're going to resolve, you know, next quarter, second quarter of the year, China is going to restore its economic growth. I don't think so. We'll watch and see. They can't give you any guarantees, but it looks that it appears that China is in a lot of trouble. It may get worse. How that's going to affect the global economy remains to be seen, but hang on to your egg rolls because China's in trouble.
They got overbloated due to our low interest rates available to every investor out there. You know, I mean, and it was, you know, I think that headline should read, not even the darkest minds imagine it would be this bad for the U.S. of A. That's what the next headline is going to be. And because it is, you know, again, I never thought that the Chinese currency would replace our dollar. I never thought it would be backed by gold. But I do believe there's still going to be a trading unit backed by gold. Once they have to stabilize these currencies. You know, they have to stabilize them. And I think with all these new trade agreements going into effect, I think that's all going to be part of it. And when the world systems collapse, and it's going to collapse, there's just too much debt out there. Yeah. And this is the beginning of it collapsing. And, they're going to have to stabilize the currency somehow, or they're going to be right back into the same program. And you won't have one person, one country or one elite or one new world order or able to control it. And that's the part where I believe gold will become involved. I've been saying it for I don't even know how long. It's not going to be 100%. You know, it'll be a percentage. Every country will be able to adjust their currency probably, you know, that they like the 3% range. So they'll have it in there. So it'll, you know, they can, you know, adjust it by 3% in either direction or so forth. But you're not going to have these huge swings. You're not going to have one that maintains an overall low level and one that's significantly higher. They're all going to come because that's what they all want. They want an even playing field. And
well, if that's what they want,
that's what they're going to get.
We'll see if they get it or not. It all remains to be seen. Nobody knows. Again, we are in uncharted territory. Things can happen that no one anticipates. And so long as that's true, you need to protect your wealth with whatever you can find that stabilizes that wealth. And one of the possibilities is gold and another one is silver. Melody and I are out of time for today. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, money, must be funny.